Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome to our second hour here in Circles of Change, and it's always a pleasure to call hither and non. We're connecting with Laura Diamond in the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania area. Good morning, Laura. How are you today?
I'm great, Dr. Larson. How are you doing?
Just great. Please call me Zara. All right.
Okay,
thank
Zara,
you.
Yes.
No, and, you know, I always enjoy with our show, our listeners often hear me say, don't get stuck in the tyranny, the or. Think about the freedom and fun in the and. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about here with Laura. So let me introduce her. She's a licensed funeral director and works with her father, Ed Totko, at their family's firm, Cheslick and Totko Funeral Home in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And in addition, Laura moonlights as an actor and a fashion model, having worked recently on major motion pictures as a stand-in and photo double for leading ladies. One for the Money with Catherine Hegel, and One Shot with Tom Cruise and Rosamund Pike. Laura's a graduate of Penn State University, majoring in public relations and minoring in business, and launched her career in public relations for several years. She then opted to join the family business and graduated magna cum laude from the Pittsburgh Institute of Mortuary Science, becoming a licensed funeral director, the third generation in her family. So Laura now also serves on the board of trustees for Allegheny County Funeral Directors Association. Well, I tell you, Laura, I can't imagine a more of a diverse double life than the one that you lead.
It is rather unique, I suppose, yes.
That's great. Well, tell me the fact, let's maybe start here in the trajectory of the first job, shall we say, of your decision to study public relations and minor in business and then shift from being in the PR world to your family business.
Sure. PR just kind of, you know, was just called to me. It seemed to be something that would suit some of my skills, so that was what I decided to do in college, and did that in the technology field for a while here in Pittsburgh and in the graphic design world. And then I just decided one day out of the blue, as a matter of fact, to join my family business. My parents were shocked. I wouldn't say they weren't supportive, but they were more dumbfounded than anything with my 360 degree change, I guess.
So in other words, had there been family conversations throughout your life of either a natural assumption that you would or you wouldn't continue with the family business?
Well, not really. They never pushed me to come into the business. It was, it's been in my family for three generations. It was just, they encouraged myself and my brother to pursue anything we wanted to, and somehow it was just a natural calling. And after I decided to make this choice, my dad was diagnosed with stage 4 Hodgkin's and non-Hodgkin's mm-hmm. lymphoma. So it seemed really like this natural calling, this, in a way, God, you know, I hate to say it like that, but that I should do this. So he's fine now. He's doing great, 6 years in remission. Mm-hmm. But that was what made me just choose this. And I just had a need to help people, I guess. The PR field was great. I did well at it. I loved it. I loved the people I worked with. But I just felt that something was missing in my life, that I wasn't helping others, that I had normally done in college and high school. I was very into volunteerism and helping people, and working at the funeral home really fulfills that for me. So that was a major reason for going into this. So it's
kind
very,
of, yeah,
very
some,
rewarding.
Well, I think the other side of it is probably, you know, and I know that several people who have grown up with a tight family business around them, that they either eschew it and go totally in a different direction, embrace it immediately, or lo and behold, you find yourself being pulled. And whether we say this was genetically gifted to you through being that third generation, but my guess is that you, even your pursuits of volunteer work in high school and college and so on, you were manifesting a lot of the same attributes, and now it's a matter of just kind of turning that gear slightly to the right, and there the click happened.
I think you're right. Yeah, it was just, it's just very natural, because people always say to me, well, how can you do this job? I don't know how you can do it. And I just can't really imagine myself, I guess, doing anything else. It's, I can't imagine being a doctor or a nurse and delivering bad news to people, or being a hospice nurse. So everybody has their own calling in life, so to speak. So I guess this is mine, and that's what's natural for me and what worked for me. So,
you know, I think if I might ask you, though, for those of you that are on the in the business of helping families cope with the loss of loved ones, that this is all about different phases of life transition, right? And so if this is about someone transitioning to eternity, particularly if you're a person of faith, that it has a celebrative element of it. But I imagine, though, your skills and your sensitivity and your being tuned with the empathy that people need during this process?
Yes, definitely. I mean, there are a few funerals, I would say, throughout the years that people try to really focus on the celebration of the person's life. But in the end, it's still, the grief is the overwhelming factor there, really. You know, you want to celebrate the person's life, but you're still sad that they're gone. And so that really is still the overwhelming feeling and emotion there. So as much as you want to celebrate, you want to be happy that even if the person was ill and they are in a better place, it's still a loss. And I mean, I am very, I think, empathetic to that. I just can't help but feel for the people. And yeah, of course, I sometimes get teary-eyed when I see a family going in and seeing their loved one for the first time or saying goodbye to them for the last time. So it's, I guess I can, I'm a person that can really put myself in other people's shoes. So, I just can feel how they're feeling, and it's sad. So,
well, I think the other piece of what I hear, though, from you is that your chosen field of being in the funeral home business, it isn't because you've been capable of desensitizing yourself to tragedy or death, but rather you've accepted it, right?
Yeah, definitely. I very much am always worried and fearful of my husband, something happening to him or my parents or grandparents or anything, because I think I've been around death my whole life, and I'm very much aware that it can happen to me. It can happen to my loved ones. So I'm acutely aware of mortality, and in some ways fear that, because I see the pain that families are in when it happens. And but at the same time, you realize it is a natural part of life, and people get through it, and it takes time. But you run the gamut with that. So, but people get through horrible things.
That's right.
It's amazing to see.
It is. Well, let me talk then about this. Now, your double life, because you absolutely are just a beautiful woman, and certainly the career that you've taken with fashion, and then being an actor. There sounds like I'm seeing some threads in all of this, and that would be your ability to be on, right? Or ability to be able to face your own emotions in the balance of a lot of commotion around you. But explain to our listeners what it means to be a stand-in and a photo double for certainly such well-known actresses as Catherine Hegel and Rosamund Pike.
Oh, sure. Because I didn't know what being a stand-in was when they first offered it to me either. So being a stand-in is basically you're the person that stands there in lieu of the actor while they test the lighting and camera angles, so that basically not to waste the actor's time, so they can get do their lines and get their makeup and hair and everything done. So you usually need a person that is the exact height and similar features and hair color to that person. So I literally got a bag of hair that matched Catherine Heigl's hair for the movie One for the Money to take to my hairdresser to get my hair dyed dark brown to match hers. So it was very, you know, important that those details matched for the director of photography and the director. So those kinds of things are very important. I had no idea that you want to make the actors look as flattering, I suppose, as possible. So that's what the stand-in does. And a photo double is basically a body double. In scenes where you would not see the actress's face, they can use the photo double from the back, from the side, things like that. So you normally would wear a wig and you wear the exact costume. to match the actress. And it saves time, so they don't need to have the real actress there, or they can be shooting the real actress in another location and shooting the photo double in a separate location, so it kind of saves time for everybody and money.
Exactly. So, interesting. And can I ask, how did they discover you, or is this something you put your photographs out and look for opportunities to come to you?
Acting was kind of something I always would love to do, dreamt of doing, but just never really thought I could, I guess. So My mom had done some modeling before and some things with movies locally, and she had her photo on a website with a casting agency here. So she said, "Oh, Laura, put your picture out there." So I did, and we had heard a Katherine Heigl movie was coming to Pittsburgh. And again, it was funny. My mom said, "Oh, wouldn't it be great if you could be her?" We had not heard the term photo double or stand-in. Maybe you could be her body double. And we laughed about it. And then lo and behold, I just got a phone call or an email. "Would you like to audition to be her stand-in or photo double?" So I just submitted it, and they were very excited to hear from me. They thought I looked like her. So I went in through many series of auditions and interviews and ended up getting it. There were girls there that went to NYU film school and things, and they would say, "Oh, Laura, are you from LA or New York?
That's right,
what
right.
do you do?" "Oh, no, Laura, I'm from Pittsburgh and I'm a funeral director." So it was very unexpected, obviously, what I actually do in real life compared to what everybody else was doing. So I felt very lucky and fortunate to get to have that opportunity in life. So I thought, why not go for it? So
and give it a try. And you did. Now the other piece of it is, I think this is more than you just standing there, obviously, because you've become a student of the women that you stand in for, right? Imitating their body motions and the nonverbals as well. So this isn't just, you know, a static situation.
No, it was. I didn't realize that the first day on set for the Katherine Heigl movie, one of the assistant directors thrust a script in my hand, and I said, "Oh, here you go." And I thought, "Do I need to learn the lines?" He said, "Well, yeah, that would help you do your job." And I thought, "Oh, okay." So I thought I was going to be fired the first day because I had no clue what I was doing. But yeah, I had to watch her every scene to see if she would pick up her keys in her right or left hand, put her purse in what hand, and looked over her shoulder as she was saying what line. And yeah, it was very precise, that because once she would rehearse something, you had to know every single movement, and then she was gone, and then you were her for the next 2 hours while they were setting up the scene. So yeah, it was pretty intense, but it was great because and the directors and everyone were commenting that they saw me grow before their eyes, because I started off knowing nothing and then toward the end could actually act. So it was very complimentary and very exciting for me to receive compliments and learn.
I think it's also
good.
I think it's interesting, though. Like you said, you were kind of this fresh slate that learned it at a very, very fast pace. But on the flip side, like you say, there's women and men that have been in various drama and theater programs for years to aspire to an opportunity like you are taking advantage of now. That I guess maybe the lesson in all this is we can over prepare for things, and sometimes that gets in our way.
It's true. It is true. I mean, I had tried getting signed with talent agencies in my, I'm going to be 30 next month, but in my low 20s, I had tried getting signed with local talent agencies, and I would get rejected. And now, after having done this Katherine Heigl movie, One for the Money, I got signed immediately with one of the great talent agencies in Pittsburgh, and have been getting all kinds of great jobs from it. It's opened doors for me. And then now with this Tom Cruise movie that filmed here in Pittsburgh, one shot. So it's still kind of a side job, because obviously the funeral home is my main thing, but the funeral home allows me flexibility to do these other things. But yeah, I've been so fortunate that I just kind of, it fell into my lap. So I'm trying to be a little more proactive now and hopefully get some more things. And there's some stunt training hopefully in my future. And
stunt training, is that right?
Possibly. I mean, they're talking. There's some groups in Pittsburgh that are going to be opening something in March. So that's my next step, hopefully, is to give that a try. So,
you know, I don't think people would know to appreciate then how Pittsburgh really is a center for a lot for the major film industry, then, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I'm learning myself. There's all these film credits that we're getting and tax credits and things that are really romancing the movies to come to Pittsburgh. So, and there's lots of people working towards it. So it's, and we have so much local talent here as well that I was not privy to until I became part of it. So it's very, very exciting. There's all kinds of things you just don't, you know, until you become a part of it or somehow become aware of it, it's just, it's very interesting to find out. So,
well, Laura, do you think that in your path of maybe taking on a triple life, do you feel, I mean, you've already gone back to college twice, right? You got your undergraduate degree at Penn State, and then you went and received your degree from the Pittsburgh Institute of Mortuary Science. Do you feel any compunction to want to go to get any formalized acting training at this point in time?
Well, I actually was supposed to be in acting class today, but I'm busy at the funeral home, so I am here working at the office. So I am signed up for some other acting classes to further my skill and to get some more, you know, commercial work. Even if I'm not going to make it big in Hollywood, at least I can get some other local jobs around. So yeah, I definitely have that in the works as well. So and I'm also trying to go back to my PR roots as well, and have started up a little bit of PR work on the side as well. So kind of dabbling in everything. So it's an exciting time for me.
Well, I love the fact that you made me take pause by saying, oh, I'm going to be 30. For those of us that are, you know, clearly beyond those years, it takes my breath away to hear a young professional like you embracing so much change and so much opportunity. The differences, or could you talk to us then about the differences of these different facets of your life, the funeral home work, vis-a-vis the acting and the modeling, but then maybe also talk about the things that you think are the same.
Sure. It's really allows me, I guess I have two sides of my personality. There's the reserved side, the nurturing side, mm-hmm. which is what comes out at the funeral home. I just have a need, I guess, to, which is where it goes back to the volunteerism and helping people. So that really comes out at the funeral home. And then I also have a very bubbly and high energy and energetic side that comes out on the movie set and with modeling. So that really kind of fulfills that for me. Mm-hmm. So, but at the same time, I guess I'm always the same person. I'm not necessarily different, but I guess I have those two extremes that are needed to come out at some times. If I'm acting, I have to be more energetic, where I could never be like that at the funeral home. Mm-hmm. And there's not too many opportunities to be extremely somber and sad on a movie set. There's nothing to be sad about. It's a happy time, and, you know, so.
And it's also a very high-paced, and
you have to
be prepared for the split-second decisions and changes that have to be made, you know, right in the flow.
Yeah, exactly. And you can see, and I guess also working at the funeral home and seeing people's deep grief and sadness, there are some things that seem so trivial on a movie set that people are upset about or angry about, and I just, you know, just, I guess I don't get involved with some of that, the drama that others sometimes find themselves in. But
yeah, you could see how that would feed an ability that you have to kind of keep your head above this. And even though you might be viewed as a rookie in the movie world, that actually you bring a tremendous amount of maturity from this other life that you lead.
I suppose so. People always think I'm older than I am. And I can't take offense to it. It's been happening since I was 11. People thought I was in my 20s. I just, you know, it's just the way that it is. But, and now that I'm, like I said, going to be 30, it's starting to catch up with me. And sometimes people think I'm younger, and sometimes people think I'm older. So I just have to go with it and hope it's because of my assumed maturity level, but
I like that.
I don't know.
Well, the opportunity you had to interact with these very talented actresses, have you ever had that fun time where they said, "Whoa, you did me better than me"?
They would talk to me, but not engage terribly much. I mean, into anything too in depth. The only time I know Katherine Heigl saw, I guess someone told me that she said this. She saw me on a screen that where they would play back scenes, so she thought she was seeing a playback of herself on screen when really she was watching me live.
I love it.
So that made me feel good, but that was really it. So I haven't quite achieved that yet. So maybe on the next movie if there is to be another one. So we'll see.
And then tell me a bit about your fashion model activities at this point in time. So are these for magazines, or are they specifically dispatched with certain companies that you're then modeling?
Well, that's also from the talent agency, mm-hmm. which I'm signed with here in Pittsburgh, and they find me jobs. And they're mostly commercial work. I'm not like a high fashion model or anything like that, walking the runways of New York. You know, like I said, I keep saying this. It must be on my mind. I'm going to be 30. I am 5'8". I am taller, but you know, 140 pounds. So it's not like I fit the mold for. Supermodel, so it's more commercial work for there's been like some casino jobs and usually I'm playing a mother, things that like in a hospital, so I don't know that I would even call it a fashion model so much as
model.
It's more commercial print work,
which actually it sounds like though that can be a very flourishing opportunity, right, with for you to maintain this life balance of wanting to stay rooted there for your funeral home work right there in the Pittsburgh
yeah.
area.
Yeah, it's true. And as I get older and have children and things, it'll hopefully continue to be a part of my life if you know, if it works out that way. So, yeah.
So you're thinking about taking this stunt class. I'd like to ask, you know, what else do you think is in the portfolio over the next couple of years for you?
Well, I do hope to continue with the stunt training. And my husband, Brian, and I talked about getting into maybe some martial arts training, also going with the stunt. And I I'm trying to cultivate my getting back into the PR world a little bit. I've kind of kept my hand in it here and there, doing some writing. So I've been on the board of the Funeral Directors Association here. Been doing a little bit of writing. So I did start Laura Diamond Communications. It's a new website that I have.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm trying to get in with some focusing on some local tech companies and startups, and that was what I had done previous to when I was in the PR world. Before that, I did IT sales, so that's kind of my niche. So I'm hoping to do some public relations and communications editing and things like that for that industry. So that's what
which is great.
My hope is.
So there you are already pulling back to a circle that you already lived in and pulling it forward. I would suspect also that your public relations background, of course, serves your family business well.
It does. It helps. So,
well, I want to know one thing. I didn't mention in the introduction of you that you mentioned the fact that you were one that liked to buck the trend and that you were one of two girls in the fly fishing club. So tell me, is there some fly fishing here in the mix to come back?
I certainly hope so. That kind of started me. I actually was on like ESPN and on the cover of a few magazines with my fly fishing when I was in high school and early college. So that was kind of what started my PR and perhaps modeling was the fly fishing. Maybe just because I was the only girl, not because I was so talented or anything. But the fly fishing hopefully has some place in my future. I certainly hope to.
Well, you know, again, Laura Diamond from Cheslick and Tatko Funeral Home, also the body double and photo double for some leading ladies in the movie industry, as well as you said, commercial modeling there in the greater Pittsburgh area. I could not imagine anyone who demonstrates more this idea of the and in their life versus choosing between different things. We give you all the best of luck here from Circles of Change, and I'm going to look forward to watching Laura Diamond Communications as well.
Oh, thank you so much, Laura.
It's a real pleasure to have you on your show.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.